Become a member of the Movie Geeks United family. Join us on Twitter at twitter.com/moviegeeksunite, Facebook at facebook.com/moviegeeksunited. Subscribe to us through iTunes. Subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/moviegeeksunited. You can also access our entire archive of content, including over 700 filmmaker interviews, at blogtalkradio.com/moviegeeksunited or at our official website at moviegeeksunited.net. Tuning in to Movie Geeks United, Harry Dean Stanton is one of our most prolific character actors, having appeared in over 200 films over the course of a 50-year career. Films like Cool Hand Luke, Alien, Escape from New York, The Last Temptation of Christ, Pretty in Pink, and Wild at Heart. Now, director Sophie Hubert has made a transcendent new documentary about his life and work titled Harry Dean Stanton, Partly Fiction. The film opens in New York on the 11th of September, L.A. on the 13th, and rolls out nationwide in the weeks following. Go to adoptfilms.net/Harry for more details. In this interview segment, we speak with Sophie about her inspirations and experiences putting the film together, and then we share a few moments with the man himself, Harry Dean Stanton.
I've been doing this for years. Being photographed, doing movies. After a while, I get out tired of it.
Everybody talking at me. Can't hear a word they're saying. The echoes on my mind. People stop and staring. I can't see their faces. Shadows of their eyes. I'm going where the sun keeps shining through the pouring rain. Going where the climate suits my clothes.
He's been in how many, 170 films or something?
Over 200.
Over 200.
250 maybe. I lost count a long time ago.
How would you describe yourself?
There's nothing. There's no self.
How would you like to be remembered?
Doesn't matter.
He's also one of those actors who knows that his face is a story, and he doesn't have to. He just has to be in that thing, you know, and his face is the story, you know. You read all kinds of things. And
God, he was so much a part of my life that when I was still working at the Troubadour, he would get up and sing with me every now and then. He loved to sing Mexican songs. And Speak of the Devil.
The big stars of Orion.
My love behind.
You wrote that you first met Harry in the 90s. What was the occasion for your meeting?
Well, actually, we met through a mutual friend at the bar that's in the film, at Dan Tanis, where he is, you know, many nights a week. Mm. And we started talking, and we just hit it off, and have been friends ever since, really.
What kind of friend is he?
He's someone I feel connected to, you know, somebody who I felt like I knew even when I didn't know him yet.
Well, you know, so many of our greatest actors, and a lot of them are our character actors. They are, you get the, you feel that they are authentic people. Like, there's no BS to them. And I get that strong sense from him. Do you think that's the case?
Yeah, I think he has, you know, as you see in the film, like, he has ways to, he's not somebody who shows his emotions, I think he shows them because I think you can see them, but he doesn't express them verbally much. So I think he's built up a sort of a persona for him to protect himself from that. But I think it's visible, you know, in characters like Travis, obviously, in Paris, Texas, and also very much in his songs.
Yeah, it's all there. It's all there through his artistic expression. Do you find that he's a man that that frequently looks back, or is he constantly looking ahead?
Well, he's constantly working on being in the moment.
Hmm.
And that was part why it was difficult to convince him to do a documentary, because he said he didn't, you know, he doesn't care about the past or wants to talk about it, which, you know, would be the story of a documentary, really.
Hmm.
So I tried to find ways that show that are more just being with him, you know, than telling his life from A to Z.
Was one of the keys to getting him comfortable with the idea of a film, was that just to showcase his singing?
Yeah, at the end, it was kind of how the whole film started, too, because when I started recording songs with him years before we started filming him, because I just thought he was incredible. And there's no recordings, really. There's a few, you know, recordings for films that he was in. But a lot of musicians tried to get him to a studio and record songs with him, but he never wanted to do that. Somehow he felt uncomfortable being in a studio, so I would go to his house and record him there. Hmm. And then that's when I thought I should also film him doing that. And when I first mentioned a documentary to him, he said no way, never. And it would go on that he said no for a whole year, and I would keep calling but trying not to call too often, you know.
Yeah.
And at the end, I just said, forget about the word documentary or biography. We'll just come, Seamus, the cinematographer, and I, and the sound man, and just record a song or two and see how he feels, and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah. So speaking of Seamus, in terms of the feel and the structure of the documentary, it's very unique, and I'm curious to know, at what stage did you guys determine the kind of the stylistic direction of the movie?
I met Seamus while I was, you know, starting to record the songs with Harry and thinking it would be great to film it too. And a lot of people told me, you just go there, do it yourself with a video camera. And I just knew that I wanted a different look. I wanted, because, you know, his face being so expressive and him, you know, being a movie star, basically, I just wanted a cinematic look. And And then Seamus, you know, happily, gladly agreed. And the thing about black and white and color sort of came, I mean, when we started the first time, we tried and it just, looked much better in black and white. And it made it more dramatic somehow.
Yeah. But because the movie, it's not like other documentaries of biographical documentaries. There's not a, this is my childhood and this is how I came up and now this is my career. It's not, it doesn't go kind of stage by stage in that linear way.
Mm-hmm.
So was there a lot of, did you play a lot with structure in the editing room before you really found what you were looking for?
Yeah, it was quite a long process, but I always knew that I wanted to do something that would be true to him, to his own philosophy, which is not thinking in linear terms, which is more of a, you know, just a, try to be in his head like a stream of consciousness and mm-hmm. find these connections, because he also says, you know, everything is connected. It's all one connected whole. So I try to find visual things or thematic things to string it all together.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if you noticed, for example, the strings of the guitar in at the end of the Cool Hand Luke clip, and then it cuts to the wires in LA that look like strings, like little things like that, just to try to connect everything.
I did see there are beautiful transitions like that all the way through the movie. I thought were terrific. Tell me about, because for film fans, there's so much great stuff in your movie that film fans are just going to go crazy over, including this conversation on the couch where essentially David Lynch begins to interview Harry. Tell me, interviewing his collaborators, what were common themes that kept popping back up from the people that work with him?
He's truthful in his work, that he's not like anybody else, and that he kept sort of a independence for himself in all those years in Hollywood.
Yeah. I've always been so amazed by his talent, and I mean there are many movies where he just has one scene, like something like Twin Peaks Fire Walk With Me. I think he has one scene, and there's so much life in what he gives that character and those few moments that he has in that movie. It's just staggering. I mean, that's a fully lived in character expressed in, you know, 2 minutes of film. It's amazing to me.
Yeah, also the straight story.
Yeah, and it's the same thing. He's sitting there and you can tell there's this bond and this amazement that his brother went through all of that to come see him one last time. It's beautiful. So tell me how he has reacted to this documentary being done and out there. Apparently there came a time when he was accepting of the idea of this documentary. Do you feel that he's fully embraced the fact that there's a movie about him out there?
If he can fully embrace something, then yeah, I think he does. He's had the DVD ever since it premiered in Venice last year in September. But he's never watched it until the film was shown here at the LA Film Fest in June.
Mm.
So all these months he had the DVD but didn't watch it. And I was quite nervous to see what he thinks, you know, not having seen it and then see it with an audience. But I was very glad that he did like it, and his only comment was that he looked so fucking old. I mean, his only negative comment. I think he was actually, yeah, he liked it.
It has to be. It has to be difficult for him, for anyone. If a movie's made on anyone, I would think it would be a difficult process to see your life up there. But also extremely nerve wracking for you because you want to pay honor to this man, and you want to get it right.
Yeah, and then you never know how the person reacts. You know what they see in
yeah.
seeing themselves. But no, it worked out well, and he was surprised. You know, there were a lot of people there, and he got a standing ovation. So he was really moved by the attention he's getting now.
Do you
because
think
he,
that he?
You know,
had,
he hasn't had that kind of attention since Paris, Texas, really.
Right. Do you get a sense that he understands his contribution to acting and to filmmaking? Does he feel that at all?
It's hard to tell because he would say no. And in a way, he thinks that too, I think, because he hasn't been he's played one leading role, really. But at the same time, I'm sure he knows that he's, you know, because he's been in so many films and in so many important films, that he knows that he has his place somehow.
When you look at his work, what are your favorite moments from his performances?
Well, I mean, the first time I was aware of him was Paris, Texas. So that, and I've loved that movie,
mm-hmm.
and I saw that before I actually met him. So that, you know, is probably one of my favorites. And then, yeah, definitely The Straight Story.
So when the camera wasn't rolling, do you find that he shares more with you on a personal level when the camera's not rolling, or is what we see in the movie, is that how he is in one-on-one private conversation with friends, or is he a bit more revealing?
Not really. It's pretty much what you see, pretty much what you get when you see him in person and know him.
Yeah.
It was important to me that we keep it really intimate, so it was just the three of us. I mean, a sound guy, Seamus, and I, and Harry Dean. And since we know each other and he really likes Seamus too, it was an intimate atmosphere
mm-hmm.
that pretty much reflects how he is, even if the camera wasn't rolling.
Mm.
I mean, what's interesting with him is that he knows when it is rolling. He knows exactly how or where to how to position his face to the best effect, you know, which is funny to watch. There's, for example, that scene when he says he doesn't want to talk about his mother or father.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up, and you feel like he knows exactly how the, you know, light hits his eyeball to where it has the most dramatic effect.
Well, he's been doing it so long, I'm sure it's completely second nature.
Yeah.
I have to ask, because I'm just so curious, has Jack Nicholson seen it yet? Because they're close friends, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. Obviously I tried to get him in the film, but I don't know if, I doubt that he's seen it. I hope he'll come to the LA premiere on the September 13th.
I was talking to Sophie a few days ago, and she was lovely. And she said the first time you got to see it was at an LA screening, and I'm wondering what that experience was like for you to watch it for the first time.
I like the film. It's a good film. I like the cinematography. McGarvey, Seamus McGarvey, he's great.
It was beautifully photographed. Yeah, and but you were. Did it take a lot of convincing on Sophie's part to get you involved in the documentary?
Well, I wasn't all that enthusiastic about it, but Well, I like Sophie so much, and I'm doing it for her mostly.
You know, when I was watching it, I was thinking about, you know, everyone's life, my own life. There's, you know, I think of myself in one way, and then there's what others might think of me and feel about me, and that might be a different thing. So was anything surprising to you when you saw your friends and collaborators talking about you, how they felt about you?
No, I enjoyed the whole thing. It was a loving experience. It was very nice.
Yeah. And one of the great joys for the movie for me was it was really a showcase for your singing. And you've got a gorgeous voice. It's truly. And I'm wondering, was there ever a time when you tried to pursue a recording career?
Well, I've been singing all my life, and I've had a lot of chances to record, but I'm pretty lazy. I haven't pursued it as much as I could have. I could have been a famous singer if I pursued it, but I've been so laid back on so many areas.
Well, but also the songs that you do sing so beautifully, they're all such terrific songs. And I wanted to know if you have favorite songwriters, if some songwriters speak strongly to you.
Oh, a lot of them. Gustafsson, Dylan, they're both great poets, and a lot of others. Bernie Taupin, I can't think of them. There's so many of them.
Yeah, and you spent time, obviously, with Dylan.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you guys ever write songs together?
No, we've sung together, though.
In terms of your acting, which the other part of the film, obviously, is about your terrific film career, you know, you've been doing it a long time. Do you still get turned on by it?
By what?
By acting.
Oh, yeah, I like it. I still like acting and singing.
Does it challenge you still, acting?
It's all a challenge. It's all a challenge.
I wanted to ask you about a couple of the people that you've worked with, if that's okay, because these are heroes to a lot of people that love movies. Starting with Peckinpah, what was the experience like being in his company?
He's crazy and not angry guy, but very talented.
Did you have a kind of director that you prefer?
Yeah, the ones that leave you alone, the ones that don't tell you what to do. They give you pretty free rein.
Mm-hmm.
I've worked with a lot of great directors. Alfred Hitchcock, John Huston, Martin Scorsese, and who's the guy that I've worked with four or five times with?
David Lynch was one.
David Lynch. Yeah.
And they all kind of, I mean, there's a reason why they hire you. They want you to bring your own personal stamp to a role, so if they have confidence in you, they leave you alone and let you do your thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Actually, you're in my all-time favorite movie, which is a David Lynch movie, Wild at Heart. Did you have any special memories from that set?
What did I play in that? I can't remember what I played.
You played, I think, Johnny Farragut up opposite Diane Lane.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the character.
Do you make a point to, do you see your movies, or do you typically not see your movies?
I see them.
Because I know some people don't like to see their own work.
No, that's bullshit.
I also wanted to ask you about Mr. Brando, because you had such a long relationship with him, and I understand he used to call you a lot, and you used to have these long...
Yeah, the last 3 years of his life, we were very close. We talked on the phone many times, hours. Great man.
He was, didn't he used to read Shakespeare with you?
Yeah, he taught me some Shakespeare monologues on the phone.
Mm.
And off the phone, too.
And also, I was surprised to find that Mr. Nicholson wasn't in the movie. Did you try to get him involved in the movie at all?
Oh, we're close friends. We used to live together. We're close friends for years. He just didn't want to get into it, which I'm fine with me. He didn't want to get emotional.
Yeah. Another thing that I want to ask you about, because I read something interesting that you almost worked with Stanley Kubrick.
And what?
I think it was The Shining with Jack.
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember that situation now.
Well, of all the great directors that you've worked with, were there some that you didn't have an opportunity to work with that you wish you would have?
No, not necessarily. I'm pretty happy with everything. I'll just go with what happens.
Well, I have to tell you that the documentary was wonderful, and your work is wonderful, and I really, really appreciate you giving me time.
Well, it's my pleasure, man. What's your full name?
My name is Jamie Duvall.
Jamie Duvall. Well,
yes, sir. Thank you, my friend. You have a good day.
All right, you too, Jamie.